chapter 3, we have slowly gone through chapters 1 and 2, and in light of who Jesus is and what he has done, we pick it up in verse 3, in chapter 3, verse 1, and Paul tells us, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Now, at the beginning of Colossians, we handed out a handful of verses for each of us to memorize, and these four were a part of that. I hope that you have hidden these verses in your heart. They're easy ones to memorize, and even if you don't get them word for word and you paraphrase, they're still very good to get in there so you can meditate on them. And in reading those verses, it puts your mind on the things above and not the things of the earth. So perhaps in your group you'll have a turn to recite your memory verse. If then you were raised with Christ, and that word if, it you can change that word with since. It's not if like a question mark, if, but it's a for sure done deal thing. It's like if I said to Julie, "I am going to the store, do you need anything?" And Julie says, "Well, if you're going to the store, pick me up, whatever." She's not questioning the fact that I'm going to the store, but we use if and since. She could say, "Since you're going to the store," but a lot of times we say if. So, since, it's a done deal. You were raised with Christ. Remember in chapter 2, verse 13, it tells us that we were dead in our trespasses and sins, and we are alive in him. We have been raised with him. In Ephesians, it tells us that he has made us alive and he has seated us in the heavenly places. So we have been raised with him already. In his eyes, he sees us seated in those heavenly places. So Paul, just going on with these thoughts, since you were raised with Christ, now we are to seek those things which are above. And that word seek, it means to strive for earnestly. It's a very strong word. It is an active word. It is purposely looking for and to heavenly things in our daily lives, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Just a reminder that he is risen and that he's on the throne. He's in his rightful place. And I know we're moving fast, but we're going to come back to these. And then he tells us to set our mind on the things above. And that the seek is an kind of an outward. It's a practical striving outwardly. The setting is, as one person put it, an inward impulse and disposition. It's a concentration of the mind. Again, it's a purposely setting your mind on the things above, on heavenly things, on spiritual things, on the things that pertain to the kingdom of God, on the Lord Jesus himself, on the things that he did, on the things that he is doing, anything that has eternal value. Those are the things that we're to set our mind on, not on the things of earth, not on the temporal things. These things that we see are temporary. And there is so, because we live in this world, there is so much worldliness that tries to grab our attention. But he's telling us we're not supposed to set our minds on that. We're not to put our minds on worldly pleasures or worldly concerns, big or small. We're to put our minds on the things above. Verse 3, "For you died, and you are hidden with Christ." We died. Our old life is gone. now we have this new life. And Jesus, our life is hidden in him. He has just enveloped us. He has wrapped himself around us. The Holy Spirit indwells us. He is our life. I mean, he just surrounds us, and our life is to be all about him. And our life being hidden in him, that produces security and satisfaction within us, that we're safe. We're hidden in him. And there's also another way in thinking of that we are hidden in him. And that means that the world doesn't necessarily see our spiritual lives. Because it tells us that the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit. They can't. So we are hidden in Christ. Yes, we're letting our light so shine before men that when they see our good works, they will glorify our Father in heaven. But at the same time, our life is hidden from them because it's hidden in him. And the world think it's strange that we don't live the way that they do. And they don't understand our motives. They don't understand our perspective on things. They don't understand why we do the things that we do. John, in his first epistle in 3:1, he writes, "Therefore the world does not know us because it did not know him." We're hidden in him. It didn't know him, didn't understand him. If we're hidden in him, the world is not going to understand us. And then in verse 4, Christ, who is our life, when he appears, Jesus will come for his bride. And what hope that gives us. Let that thought dominate your mind. When he appears, it is that hope that purifies. John also wrote in 1 John 3:2-3, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." So when he appears, we will appear with him in glory. Now, for me, just reading those four verses, knowing those four verses, having them memorized, having them in my heart and mind, those immediately turn my thoughts upward. They turn my heart, my mind, my focus to the things that are above. And they turn my mind right where it is supposed to be. And I really like that because my mind, I don't know about yours, but I have some trouble with my mind. And my mind wants to think about things that it really shouldn't be thinking about. It wants to dwell on things that I shouldn't be dwelling on. It wants to go places that it shouldn't go. And I battle with my mind every single day in obeying these verses and bringing my thoughts back to Jesus. Because I often picture my mind as, well, they probably don't have them anymore, but, you know, the pinball machines. And that ball, bing, 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 you know, that kind of a thing. I mean, do your minds do the same thing? Where you can go here and here and here and here and here, and if there's this much silence, you're over here and you're over here, and you can just go all over the place. And even when you're praying. You know, if you pause, you start meditating on something, it kind of makes you think of that, and then you go off over here, and then you go off over here, and who knows how many seconds or minutes until you realize, oh, wait a minute, I was praying. You know? So these verses and lessons like this, I need. It really helps me. Now, the homework, it stated, whoever and whatever controls the mind controls the life. And I liked that. Don't you find that to be true? You know that that saying, you are what you eat. So if you eat a bunch of junk, you're not going to be healthy and that kind of thing. And in some ways that's very true. Well, what we think about, what dominates our thinking is who we will become or who we are or what we will act out. so if we think about the things of the world, if worldly pleasures or cares, if they dominate our thinking, then we will live like they do. Our conversation will be like that, too. You really, when you're around people and what they are talking about, it comes from their thought life. So you know what their master passion is, what's dominating their life. So if heaven dominates our thinking, then we will live a much higher life. We will live a worthwhile life, and we'll live a blessed life. It's going to be a peace-filled life when heaven dominates our thinking. I love the New Living Translation of these first two verses, and it was written in your homework. Let heaven fill your thoughts. I just love that. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Don't spend your time worrying or thinking about things down here. You should have as little desire for this earth as a dead person does. Now, you can't get any plainer than that, but it's so true. Now, how much desire does a dead person have for the things of this world? Zero. None. They have no need of it. They're not thinking about it at all. And that's how we are to live our lives, letting heaven fill our thoughts. If you have trouble memorizing those verses, just memorize that. Let heaven fill your thoughts. And so as you walk through each day, just say that. Let heaven fill my thoughts. Let heaven fill my thoughts. And it'll turn your mind toward the things of the Lord. So back in verse 1, we're to seek those things which are above. And that is that striving. It is actively seeking out. It's the same word that Jesus used when he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All the other things will be added to you. He knows the things that we need. He knows that we live in this world, and there's going to be things in this world that we need, but they can't dominate us. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek those things which are above. It means to bend one's efforts toward, to aim at, to pursue. So that is something, then, that we need to do. It doesn't just happen. I have to get up every single morning and decide to and choose that I'm going to seek the kingdom of God. I'm going to seek those things that are above. I'm going to aim at. I'm going to pursue. I'm going to put my time. Time is very valuable to all of us. And we all have 24 hours in a day. But I need to choose then to put my time into the things above, into spiritual things. And so often my time gets spent on myself and on trivial things that just simply don't matter. But he's telling us we need to seek, actively pursue, aim at, and putting our time in those things that are above, that have eternal value. You know, all these things on earth, they're going to burn. They're going to be dissolved. You cannot take anything with you. So how much time do we want to put into temporal things? And there's a balance. These things aren't bad in and of themselves. And if they dominate me, then something's off. So heaven is to dominate me. So I'm to put my time, my energy. We put out a lot of energy as women because we are busy, 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 busy. Doing, 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 doing. But what are we busy doing? Are they things for the Lord? Things that will mean something for eternity? Or things that are temporal that are going to burn. We need to actively pursue and seek out putting our resources into the kingdom of God, into the things that are above, not on the things of this earth. And whatever resources that is, finances or material things or your time or your energy or that kind of thing. But how much are we aiming at for spiritual things, eternal things, and how much are we keeping for ourselves? It's all the Lord's. And so how much do we keep for ourselves? I don't even want to know what women spend on themselves these days. With nails and hair and facials and waxing and tucks and nips and lifts and adding and taking away and clothes and jewelry and all of that stuff. You add that up, oh. Now, again, there's balance, because there's nothing wrong with that within reason. And the Lord tells each person which that is. But if that dominates me, you know, I'm getting older just like all the rest of you. And, you know, I go back and forth with this. And this is, you know, it's an individual thing. But I have conversations all the time with the Lord. How much am I going to put into me, into trying to keep wrinkles away or whatever else I'm trying to do? You know, how much is too much? I would like to look the best that I possibly can, but I can't stand before the Lord and say, spend it all on me. You know, I can't do that. I want to actively be pursuing and sending things ahead to the kingdom of God. Jesus said, what does it profit a man if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? Now, we are secure in that. We're not going to lose our soul. But why do I want to just squeak in? I just want to make it in. Now, that reminds me of a story that, of course, this is not a true story, but it's a good illustration. And there was this older woman, and it was her day, and she passed on into heaven. And she was at those pearly gates, and St. Peter met her, and he was going to take her to her mansion. And she just had it all pictured and designed in her head, just this, you know, great mansion, you know, in heaven for her. And Peter's walking her, and she's seeing these just gorgeous places like you would see on the 17-mile drive or, you know, somewhere. I mean, just gorgeous places. And she's just, oh, couldn't wait to see hers. And but they kept walking, and they kept walking. And then they moved into the, you know, little smaller mansion, a little, you know, kind of a thing. But they kept walking and walking and walking. And the mansions got smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And he stopped in front of this little bungalow for her. And she said, what is this? I want one of those. And he said, you know, we did the best we could with the materials you sent ahead. This is all we could do for you. Now, we know it's not, you know, that picture isn't what heaven is, but there's a truth there. And in laying up treasures for ourselves or laying up treasures in heaven, not that we want. It's not a self thing that, oh, I want this big mansion, so I'm going to tithe and I'm going to give and I'm going to support this and that, so I've got all this stuff in heaven. No. It's just, again, how much do I keep for myself? My time, my energy, what am I doing? What's my life about? I need to actively seek those things that are above. Some people, they seek out a career and they spend their lives, all the time they have for a career. Now, again, a career is fine, but not when it's the master passion of my life. Or some people seek out money, that they are all about money. And they talk about money, and they want more money. And money in itself is fine, but not when it's consuming me and dominating me. Or some people, fame or position or whatever it might be. But again, those things are fine, but when they dominate us, or when there is that battle and we're losing, that's a dangerous spot to be in. Someone said, the things on the earth are not in themselves sinful, but become so if sought and thought on in preference to the things above. It does become sin. So having things and taking care of yourself and that kind of thing, that's perfectly fine. We want you to take care of yourself. You know, and God provides things for us. And He gives us all things to enjoy. But they cannot dominate us, because then we're on dangerous ground. The things that should attract us and the things that should excite us should be heavenly things. They should be spiritual things and not earthly things. What excites you? What grabs your attention? When you hear about that missionary, when you hear about what the Lord's work in this country or that country, or what He's doing over in this little Bible study or that kind of a thing, those are the things that stir your heart and excite you? Or is it Who's Who in People magazine, or what's going on in this part of the world in a secular sense or whatever? It's the things of heaven that need to stir our hearts and stir our minds. Now, at the same time, it doesn't mean that we're to ignore everything on earth. And as we talked about a little bit last week about that asceticism where we just deny, and we're not going to, you know, that's where people look at some Christians and say, well, they're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. Well, the more heavenly minded you will be, the more earthly good you will be, because you will be letting your light so shine before men. You won't be obnoxious or not doing the work that the Lord's called you to do. So we have responsibilities here. We need to, as Jesus said, to occupy until He comes. We need to take care of our homes and our families and do the best we possibly can. You read that Proverbs 31 woman, and her household was clothed in scarlet. I mean, that was the top of the line things. And she looked well to the ways of her household, and she fed them well, and all those things we need to do, but not to have that dominate us. We need to do it for the glory of the Lord. Now, that word set, we're going to just set our mind on the things that are above. Now, that, remember, the seeking is it's an outward striving. Now, that set, that inward impulse or disposition, it is something that I deliberately do, consciously do. I'm going to set my mind on the things of above. God's Holy Spirit indwells us, and we are enveloped in the Lord. He is our life, and He's changing us. Day by day, He is changing us. We are being transformed. And the more that we are, the more our minds will be set on Him. And the more that I set my mind on Him, the more transformed I will become, because I'm going to be all about heaven. A believer's life needs to be dominated by heaven, by the ways of heaven. And that the everything that we process and filter is through heaven. So we have perspective from heaven. We get direction from heaven, not from this earth. And because of this new life in Christ that we have, as the New Living Translation says, we should have as little desire for this earth as a dead person does. The more we turn our eyes on the things of heaven, then the world will grow strangely dim. But when we set our mind on the things of this earth, when the things of this earth are dominating us, it's not going to grow strangely dim. There's going to be a desire for the things of this earth. Damien mentioned on Sunday about that danger of being addicted to comfort and hanging on to those things in this world. Well, if we set our mind on the things above, then the world will truly grow strangely dim. It's a process. It happens as we continue to grow in the Lord. It doesn't happen overnight. We wish it did. We wish when we came to know the Lord, you know, all of a sudden we're very spiritually minded all the time and we don't care about the things of this world. But sometimes we care too much about the things of the world. We hang on to things. You know, you think about if your house burned. You know, we like our things and everything. But are there things that you would just be totally crushed over because it's gone? Things that are going to burn? But the more heavenly minded we are, the more we set our mind on the things above, we're not going to be attached to the things of this earth, to the things of this world. Someone said, you must not only seek heaven, but you must think heaven. We have to direct our minds to heaven, to habitually set our minds on heaven, to give our attention to heaven, on the things above and not the things of the earth. Someone said, our feet must be on earth, but our minds must be in heaven. The practical everyday affairs of life get their direction from Christ in heaven. We are to look at earth from heaven's point of view. So everything is filtered, everything is processed through heaven, through God's eyes. What do you want today? How do you want me to do that? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to spend my time on? What do you want me to spend my money on? What do you want me to do? All through heaven. Now, Paul is telling us that we need to seek and that we need to set. Again, it doesn't just happen. You know, we're not, you know, you're a Christian and now there you go. He gives us the power to do these things. He gives us the power to overcome the desires of the flesh and the lusts of the flesh. But we need to choose. We need to deliberately set our minds. Now, we do have control over what we constantly think about. We have control over what dominates our thinking. We may not have control over all the thoughts that come in, but we do have control over what we do with those thoughts. Are we going to let them settle down and make themselves at home? Or are we going to kick them out? And this is something that I think, especially for women, that we need to learn how to do every single day. Because as I said in the beginning, and I think your mind is somewhat like mine in that thoughts come in, things come in. Sometimes we know where they came from, and other times we have no idea where they came from. Why would I think that? But regardless, we have control now of what we're going to do with the thought. No, love thinks no evil. So when one of those kind of thoughts come in, we can let it dominate us and think about it, or we can cast it out. We need to get in the habit of thinking about the things of the Lord. And it is a habit. It's a discipline to process everything through heaven, every decision to talk to the Lord about. And it is a habit, it is a discipline. And it needs to become second nature to us. It needs to become the first thought. The first thought. Instead of the first thought is going to be panic. The first thought is going to be anger. The first thought is going to be frustration. The first thought is going to be worry. We need to get to that place by continually doing these things that the first thought is heaven. What would heaven think? Lord, what I'm going to filter this through you. Now, there was a little booklet out years ago that's not in print anymore, unfortunately. It's called Changing Your Thought Patterns. And he said, the longer we think along any given line, the stronger that thought pattern becomes. Every time we react in a certain way, we reinforce that thought pattern, and this is how habits are formed. So anytime a certain thought comes in, if we leave it in there and we react a certain way, we're developing a habit for the next time that thought or a thought similar to that comes in our mind. It's going to become a habit, and we need to change that. There's another booklet, I think it's in our bookstore, that Godliness Through Discipline by Jay Adams. And in that, it says, it takes at least 3 weeks of proper daily effort for one to feel comfortable in performing a new practice. It takes about three more weeks to make that practice a part of oneself. So it's developing a habit. So you have to break the old habit. I'm not going to think about the things of this earth. I'm going to stop thinking about me so much. I'm going to stop thinking about this and that. And now I'm going to think about the things of heaven. And then every time that thought of me or the things of this earth come in, I need to think about heaven. And it is, I mean, we all have habits. And it is true that it takes about 3 weeks to get in that routine of doing, you know, that new exercise program or whatever it might be that we're doing. And then another, if we stick with it then, in another 3 weeks, it's just kind of there. And it's just part of our lives. It's the same thing with our thinking, that we can retrain our minds to not think about the things of this earth, but to think about the things that are above. So when we find our minds thinking on earthly things, whether those thoughts, those earthly thoughts are bad or scary or worrisome, then we need to stop, we need to give them to the Lord, and we need to redirect our thinking. 2 Corinthians 10:5, it tells us that we're to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. That has been a verse I have clung to all my Christian walk. Every thought, bring it captive. Don't let it run wild. Don't let it multiply itself. Grab it, give it to the Lord, and then bring in a thought about Him. So, bad thoughts, scary thoughts, worrisome thoughts, all those things that either the enemy wants to shoot at us, or we're really good at doing it ourselves, or just reading something, or however that might work in your mind, grab it, bring it into obedience, give it to the Lord, replace it with a thought of His. And then even if our thoughts are, and probably most of our thoughts are like this, they're trivial. They're really empty-headed. They're a waste of time. They are really a waste of time. We think about so many things that are just, it's just not worth it. Or we spend so much time, especially with the computer now, and researching something on the internet or trying to find something. How many hours you can spend doing that? You know, for what? I suppose that's better than getting in your car and driving to this store and that store and that store. But you know, it's just a lot of this stuff that goes on in here, it's just stupid. It just has nothing to do with anything. And so if we're thinking of those trivial things, or we're just caught up in the world, in thinking about who's who and what's, I mean, I used to do that, and I'm so glad I don't. I mean, you know, I can, you see the covers of the magazine. I was with my sister recently, and she, you know, there were magazines, and she said, well, that's so-and-so, and so-and-so. I said, I've never seen these people before. I don't know who you're talking about. I am so glad. I'm so glad I don't know who these people are. I don't have time to know those people. I got a lot of other people to know, real people, you know? But whatever those thoughts are, any thought of this earth, any thought, bad or just neutral or whatever, we need to stop, bring it into captivity, Don't let it go. Catch it. Give it to the Lord. Redirect your thinking and then replace it. So I'm not going to think about that. It's not mind over matter here. But I am not going to think about that. Lord, I'm giving you this thought, but I can't just do that because I'm going to continue to think about it. I have to replace it. I have to replace it. You know, if I tell you to picture in your mind a pink elephant, think about that pink elephant frolicking through the little flowers, you know, and you've got this and you're just thinking about this pink elephant, and I tell you, now stop it. You can't just stop thinking about a pink elephant. But if I start telling you about, this recipe, and I get very involved in this recipe, you're not going to be thinking about the pink elephant because you've replaced the thought. Well, we don't want to replace it with recipes. We want to replace it with the things of above, the things of heaven. So every time that thought comes in of me, of a care, of a worry, of a bad thought, or just empty stuff, I need to replace it. Philippians 4:8, if you've never memorized that verse, that is a very good verse to memorize. Now, I've memorized it in a song, which I'm not going to sing, but it's an easy way to memorize it. But whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So what's true, what's noble, what's just, what's pure, what's lovely, what's of good report, what's virtuous, what's praiseworthy? Jesus and everything about him, his kingdom, his work. So those are the things that I need to be meditating on throughout the day. Him, the things of heaven, the things that pertain to heaven. Isaiah 26:3, we probably all have this one memorized. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. When our mind is stayed, it is fixed upon the Lord, there is such peace. And don't we all want to walk in peace all the time? We want that peace to rule and reign in our hearts and in our minds. But when it's stayed on him, it will be. Now, the Bible speaks of the renewing of our mind. And, oh, do we need our minds renewed? Again, if yours is like mine, or it's that pinball machine ball in there going crazy all the time, or just stepping out of your house and into the grocery store or onto the job or visiting, I don't know, anywhere out there, your mind is going to get dirty. It's going to get polluted. We need to renew our mind constantly. I'm finding that I need to renew my mind more now. Maybe I'm just more conscious of it now, than I did when I was younger in the Lord. I need my mind to stay on the Lord. And when I'm in an environment that I don't, those of you who work out in this world, oh, God bless you. I couldn't do that. And I'm thankful that I don't have to. Lord, thank you. He has us right where we need to be. But that renewing of our mind, and one of the best ways to renew our mind is what? Through the Word. Through the Word. Because it washes. Don't you find that? Every time you read it, or even hear it, or you've memorized it and you are saying it over and over again, it washes. I sit in the morning and I just love that. Just washes my mind. It focuses me. It gets me where I am supposed to be. And then throughout the day, and then at the end of the day, just letting it wash over my mind. It's renewing it. It's making it and setting it on things above. It redirects. It brings heavenly perspective just like that. You read it, and you know if you're off, you read it, oh, boom. You're like, oh, yeah, that's right. How do we need? We need that desperately in our lives. Read it. Memorize it. and then meditate on it. All day, every day, let heaven fill your thoughts. Set your mind on the things above. A lot of us have trouble memorizing. You know, don't put pressure on yourself. You can paraphrase it. It doesn't have to be word for word as long as it's in there and it's washing over you. And then that, so to set our minds on the Lord, reading His Word, it just sets us. I don't know how can you leave the house? How can you even go on with the day without the Word, without washing your mind, without setting your focus? I can't. We have to do that in our mind. And then prayer. We're just constantly talking to the Lord. You take those thoughts that you're thinking about, and we all think about, okay, now I got to wash clothes, now I got to do this, now I got to do that. You know, I mean, those are normal thoughts. It's not just like, that's not thinking about the things that, I'm not supposed to think about washing the clothes. You know, you're never going to wash them if you don't think about it. But you can take those kind of thoughts, and you can turn them into a conversation with the Lord. You can just talk to Him about it. Lord, I got to wash the clothes now. Okay, so how should I sort these? I mean, you have a constant companion. You're never alone. He is with you all the time. Don't you love that? You just love talking to Him all the time. We go to the store together. He reminds me sometimes. He doesn't. But what I'm supposed to buy at the grocery store. And, you know, you turn those kind of thoughts into conversation with the Lord, or in just real prayer and intercession. That puts my mind on the things of the Lord. If I've seen a horrible accident and my mind is going to start spinning because my kids are driving home from somewhere and now they're going to be in an accident, I start praying for that. It just redirects my thoughts. I take that thought, I stop, I bring it into captivity, I redirect, and I replace it with something of the Lord, and I'm talking to Him about it, and now I have heavenly perspective. I've set my mind on the things above, and I'm not keeping them on the things of this earth. Christian music, praise music, is a great thing to fill our minds with. It sets our minds, not all of it, but a lot of it, sets our minds on the things of the Lord, and listening to it, but just singing it. I wake up, well, on a good night, I wake up about 8 times during the night. That's a good night. And I'm always singing. I don't know why. I'm singing. And usually, I mean, I'll change songs in the middle of the night, but a lot of times it's the same song. It's renewing my mind. It's putting my mind where it's supposed to be. When I get stressed about things in this world and they just are really making me crazy, I just start singing, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through." I start singing that song. It's redirecting my thinking, because it can just go off and I can just get so set at this world and I hate this world. You know, I just start singing that song and one day I'll be in heaven. Heaven is a wonderful place filled with glory and grace. You know, all those songs, you just redirect, replace. Listening to Bible studies, you know, in your car, turn on our radio station. It's been wonderful. Boy, does that redirect your thinking. Because it's on the Lord. It's on the Lord. iPods are wonderful to get that extra Bible study in. You're redeeming the time and you're renewing your mind and you're replacing those other thoughts with thoughts of heaven. Or reading good Christian books or those good devotional books, because they give you perspective. When you read a biography about some great man or woman and the things that they've gone through, what does that do to your heart and mind? It redirects mine. I can't complain after that. I can't be thinking about me and, I don't have this and I don't have that. Look at this. It redirects, it puts me right where I'm supposed to be. If I feel myself going off, and that means I've spent too much time on myself, I have got to get back to these things. If I've let it, and the older I get in the Lord, the more I need the more I need because of the pull there is on my mind. Fellowship with believers who are dominated by heaven. That'll redirect your thinking. I mean, you can be around a lot of people and your thinking isn't redirected. Your thinking is more on yourself. And then you can be around some people and whoo, they just redirect your thinking all the time. Things of the Lord, thoughts of heaven all the time. The more we do these things, the more we actively seek the things that are above, the more we purposely set our minds on the things that are above, the more we will be dominated by the things that are above. Now, you know Psalm 139. We love that psalm. And we love these verses. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. His thoughts. He is, excuse me, thinking of you. Thoughts of you and thoughts of me fill the Lord's mind. And they're good thoughts. Because he sees us seated in the heavenly places. He sees us already in glory with him. Those thoughts of you and of me fill his mind. Don't you want your mind to be filled with thoughts of him? And Father, we pray that heaven would constantly fill our thoughts. And Lord, those of us who battle and struggle to keep our thoughts in the right place, would you give us power and victory? And those, Lord, who maybe just haven't really even thought about this and they have really been dominated by thoughts of them and thoughts of this world and those types of things, Lord, I pray that you would redirect their thinking. And I thank you that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of a power and a sound mind, and that we have the mind of Christ. And I pray, we all do, and ask that you would take these four verses and that you would hide them in our hearts and work them out in our lives, that we would grab a hold of these and that we would seek, we would set, we would actively pursue the things of heaven, and that every time an earthly thought comes in, we would redirect and replace it with thoughts of you. Thank you that heaven can fill our thoughts. And thank you that those thoughts are beautiful. They're wonderful. They are peaceful. And I pray, Lord, that as my sisters go into their groups, that you would bless their time. Bless their conversation. May it be all about you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.